time you're unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise, such as TVs, radio, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you're unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate, you can call 582-6597 and Jessica will assist you. Let's see, we will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through this afternoon's meeting agenda. At this point, I'd like to call the meeting to order and let's go through the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, please, and please state your location.
Conklin.
Here, remotely, Boynton City, Michigan, USA.
Grunch.
Here. I'm here. I'm at home, Boynton City, Michigan.
Needhammer.
I'm here in my home in Boynton City, Michigan, USA.
Paige.
Here at my home in Boynton City, Michigan, USA.
Solomon.
And here at my home in Boynton City, Michigan, USA.
Thank you. Let's move on to new business. Item A, we have the winter recreation enhancement recommendations. Tim, turn it over to you.
Yep. Thank you, Mayor. At last week's Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, we had a discussion regarding increasing the frequency and locations where our outdoor recreational trails are being groomed this coming winter. As noted, the driver there was because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need for individuals to get outside and exercise. Since that time, Commissioner Conklin and I have been talking to our local partners at Boyne Mountain and at Challenge Mountain, and beyond what I wrote in the memo, I've also spoken with the City of East Jordan and City of Petoskey, who both do grooming of some ski trails in their communities. Ed Grice from Boyne Mountain has offered to groom a portion of the new Boyne Valley Trail as an option from its property to roughly the intersection of M75. So that's about a mile of trail kind of on the resort side of M75. That grooming would afford the ability to have potentially both skate skiing and some classic cross-country skiing and some snowshoeing if there's enough room kind of over to the side to allow for an additional trail. And I think there is enough room to do that given the cross-section of the Boyne Valley Trail. The balance of the trail, at least on what I'd say the city side of M75, is about 4 miles in length. 2.5 miles of that, or about 60%, is in the township, and 1.5 miles is in the city. So if the city was to potentially groom that section of pathway, we would need to get some equipment because the city doesn't own any current grooming equipment for at least skiing trails. We do have a groomer that the city owns for the mountain bike trails, the fat bike trails during the wintertime out at Avalanche, which Mike Courtright has been the primary volunteer that has done that grooming for a number of years now and does really an exceptional job for the city there. and for the community at large. So if we wanted to get into the practice of doing some additional grooming, we need some equipment, we need some manpower, obviously. We have talked with Challenge Mountain, and this afternoon, Hugh and I had the opportunity to go out and meet with Challenge Mountain's maintenance staff and Boyne Mountain's cross-country ski director to take a look at the equipment that they have to offer. They have a brand new Ski-Doo Scandic sled and a 2012 Yamaha sled, which is in extremely good condition. The proposal at this point would be that they would lease the 2012 sled, which is the one that's shown in the foreground in this picture. Thank you. The Ski-Doo, the new one that really has almost no hours on it, is the one that's in the background. But this Yamaha sled is in extremely good condition. It's a utility sled with a lot of power that can pull a grooming or grooming attachments without any issue. It appears from my observation that this sled's in really good condition. I heard it run as we were leaving, and it sounds really good. So the proposal, should the commission be interested in moving forward, would be to lease this red Yamaha snowmobile from Challenge Mountain, and we would compute a lease rate for the value of that sled in a similar way to the way that rental rates are charged for equipment under the Public Works motor pool. And that would be a relatively easy calculation, and I think something that would be certainly fair to both parties. In order to groom the trails, though, we obviously need some attachments, and at a minimum, we would need a roller and a track setter. The roller, based on a number of manufacturers that I've looked at, ranges from about $1,400 to $1,600. And I think Patrick's trying to bring up a picture right now of one. What the roller does is it compacts the deeper snow prior to grooming. So it virtually looks like a piece of PVC culvert pipe with a frame that it that surrounds the roller. And that's pulled by the snowmobile. And then in behind the roller is an additional attachment that would kind of create a honeycomb, or it kind of grooms with a slightly finer grade the packed down snow. And then, as you can see in this photograph, in behind the groomer is an actual track setter. So there's some additional equipment that would be required. These track setters and groomers range from about $1,500 kind of on the low end for the track setter to as much as about $8,000 for a combined groomer and track setter setup. The grooming equipment that's shown here is something that's used after the trail has kind of frozen up and it needs to be reworked. A roller isn't going to rework a trail. It just kind of packs the snow down so that you can ski on it or walk on it or hike on it. This device would actually kind of reprocess that snow and get it in a shape where you could actually ski on it. So, you know, you're looking at probably between the 2 to 3 different pieces of equipment, if purchased new, something in the order of, you know, about $10,000 in equipment. If the focus was solely on grooming the Boyne Valley Trailway, we probably wouldn't necessarily need a trailer, but we may need a trailer of some type, either a snowmobile trailer or some other form of open trailer to move the snowmobile around and the grooming implements or attachments around, should we attempt to help Mike out with some of the, Mike Courtright, that is, with some of the hiking trail grooming at Avalanche, potentially do some additional ski trails at Avalanche or Rotary or any one of the other parks that we currently have in the city, and thinking longer term, should we have a desire to groom out at the Boyne Forest Trail once that opens next year. Again, a trailer would be needed to kind of move that equipment around. And in my memo, I identified that the cost of a trailer would be somewhere between probably $7,000 to $10,000. So between the attachments and the trailer, you know, in the worst case scenario, you're probably looking at about $20,000 investment in the implements. I'm very confident, given the market, that if for some reason that, let's say the commission agrees to go forward, if for some reason this didn't work out over the short term, that these implements are easily sellable in a used market, and we would recover a good amount of the money if, again, for some reason it was something in the future that the commission didn't want to offer as a service through the city. I also noted in the memo that, you know, we, as I had mentioned, we already have Mike Courtright and a couple of people that help him out with grooming at Avalanche. So we already have a system in place where volunteers use city equipment to perform this kind of function. And given our staffing resources, I don't see currently it being an option where we would provide this kind of service with city staff. That could be evaluated down the road, but right now with 7 full-time people, that's probably not an option during the winter when we're actually the most busy. Hugh has offered to recruit volunteers to help with the grooming, and I think we kind of collectively would be able to figure that out on fairly short order and get some individuals that we could trust with the equipment and train them and perform this service if the commission wanted to move forward with it. So that's kind of it in a nutshell in terms of what I think we would need to effectively do some grooming, some additional grooming. And I noted in the last paragraph of the memo that the current capital outlay budget for Parks and Recreation included $40,315 for the open space project, under the assumption that we would need some seed money to get moving if we were successful with the land and water management grant that we applied for, but we were not. So that money won't be needed in the 2020-2021 kind of time frame. So at least in theory, not needed now. Eventually we would reapply and make a subsequent budget request for an appropriation of funds for whatever matching grant or whatever matching funds are required for the grant that we apply for. But that's probably at least a year or more out from where we sit right now. So I guess I'm just saying the money is at least in theory available if the commission wanted to go forward. So with that, you know, my recommendation is that we look to purchase some of these attachments and work out an arrangement for the lease with Challenge Mountain. And I put the $20,000 figure in the recommendation, noting that this would be, you know, our absolute maximum. We would look to try to get equipment that is potentially used, but in good condition. So it would be a good investment and not, you know, just something that you keep throwing money at because you know, tried to get the least costly option. But I think we could potentially find some used equipment or maybe get some kind of a package deal if we were to buy a couple different implements from one of the vendors that I had noted in the memo. So with that, I guess I'd be happy to answer any questions, or I'm not sure if Hugh has any thoughts on our meetings and inspection today.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, Hugh, why don't you go ahead?
Well, I really don't have much more to add. I certainly think this is a good idea. We've talked a lot about, you know, expanding recreational opportunities in the community, and, you know, here's an opportunity for us to do that. If it doesn't, you know, catch on, we can just move on after this year. But, you know, I think it's something we should move forward with. And I have, you know, besides the Boyne Valley Trail, you know, I have some interest in doing a little bit more up at Avalanche, you know, through the meadow, creating some ski, you know, grooming some things there. There might be some in the parks, you know, Veterans Park, maybe create some kind of family environment there. You know, there could be a lot of possibilities we could do with this. Tim's done a very good job of working with our partners and gathering the information, and you know, it's been a real pleasure to be working with him.
Thanks, Hugh. I will add one more aspect of this. Mike and I are part of the Economic Vitality Committee, which is a subcommittee of the chamber, and, you know, always trying to brainstorm how we can create economic engines and so forth. And the trailway was such a huge success in the three seasons, and then we said, well, geez, how can we make this an economic engine for the wintertime too? And the answer, in my opinion, was grooming, and you know, working with the economic committee, and then working with just Elias and talking to Hugh and Tim, Parks and Rec. I mean, it kind of fits in. If we can get people on our trails during the 9 months and then come into town to spend their money, if the theory is, if we have quality groomed trails, which are pretty rare, the people will come and build it, and they will come, and hopefully they'll follow through and come downtown and spend quality time in our shops and restaurants. So it kind of all fits together, a big puzzle. I'll open it up. Yeah, I'll open up to any other staff, Mike.
Just a couple things I wanted to mention. One, we do have Mike Courtwright, who's joined us, so he may have some comments later on. As Tim mentioned previously, the majority of the section of the trail that we're looking to possibly groom is actually in Boyne Valley Township. And the chairman of the Parks and Recreation Board, after their meeting last week, has reached out to the Boyne Valley Township, and they seem to be in support of this proposal. Obviously, we want permission before grooming in their area, and are willing to contribute. I've heard somewhere in the range of $1,000 towards these efforts as well too. So that's going forward as well. As noted in Tim's memo, this was discussed at the Park and Recreation Board meeting last week. Obviously, they've worked out a lot of details since then as well too. So you have the additional information. I think it's a good idea. As Tim mentioned, this wasn't originally included in this current year's budget. So this would be reprogramming monies, and it would be additional tasks. So I just want to make sure the commission's comfortable knowing that we're getting into this, and at least want to give it a good effort going forward.
Thank you, Mike. Any other staff members? And or the public. Mike Courtwright, if now would be the time if you'd like to join our conversation.
I don't have anything specific. I just joined to see if you guys had any questions or if there's other things that you had talked about that I could be of help with this winter at Avalanche. But yeah, I really didn't join with anything in particular. Just wanted to see if I could help out in any more than I, or in any way that I haven't already.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else, Patrick, in the audience?
Showing none currently, Mayor.
Okay.
Tom? Well,
yes.
A question for either Tim or Mike. I heard recently that there may have been some additional grooming equipment that's been acquired for use in the area. Is that true?
Yeah. So I got some additional equipment personally that it's kind of like a dirt bike attachment. I'm not sure if it's going to work at all. If it works as well as I think it's going to, it's going to make grooming avalanche a lot easier, but it's a complete shot in the dark. So we'll see. I just picked it up yesterday. So I really have no idea if it's going to work. If it does, great, but that's kind of as far as I've gotten.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Okay.
Mike, if I could just share one thing with the group as well. When I talked with East Jordan today, they said that, well, it was, a real learning experience for them in their first year last year with doing any kind of grooming for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, that it really paid off. The quote was, in the 4 years that their Parks and Rec director has been working there, he has not seen any one thing that they have done have as much positive reaction as grooming these trails. He said that the ratio is probably about 4-1 in terms of the number of people that are using these trails compared to their skating rinks. And as you know, they have two different rinks. So that was just offered up as kind of his thoughts when I talked to him this afternoon.
Thanks, Tim. Any other comments from staff or the public? We can go into board deliberation. Ron, you want to start?
It's the only question I have at this time is, the repurposing funds from the open space and that grant, we weren't successful with it. Were we not?
Yeah, we were not successful. So these funds and anything else that would have been required to make our match will not be needed in this current fiscal year. And in all probability, not in the next fiscal year, at least relative to these two phases of the project.
Okay. That's all I have for this moment.
Thank you, Ron. Dean?
Yeah, it's sort of a no-brainer that, here you have an opportunity during the pandemic, during the COVID thing to get more people outside because they're desiring to want to do this. Gives us a chance to try an idea at fairly low cost. And as Tim said, the opportunity, if it doesn't work out, well, we can, sell the equipment and recoup most of our investment. So, I think that is something certainly worth trying, and I think it'll pay off for us. I had just two little questions. One of them, when you drive around, you see where snowmobiles cross the road, that there's some enhanced surface there to prevent the road from getting chewed up. Just wondering whether we're certain that we won't affect the asphalt on the trail through this activity.
Yeah, so we did talk about that with both Ed Grice and with Nick Bake from Boyne Mountain. And that's a concern. We'll have to figure that out. There's some attachments to the groomers that have wheels, which you can lift the equipment when you're going across paved surfaces. Or alternatively, some of the grooming equipment is light enough that you can pick it up and kind of put it on the snowmobile and then cross the road and drop it back down and drive again. But the road crossings are something that are going to take some care by the volunteers and also some additional effort on our part to make sure that they're relatively smooth and safe to cross.
And then the trail itself, there's no concern that the snowmobile and equipment would harm the surface of that?
Not the snowmobile equipment. The groomers, they're not that heavy. You're talking, in the order of hundreds of pounds as opposed to thousands. If we considered, heavier grooming equipment like you would see at Boyne Mountain or other cross-country ski resorts where they do heavy-duty grooming, That type of equipment would not be good to use on paved trails. So the snowmobile is the best option for what we're looking at.
And the other question I had was sort of unrelated to this specific project, but a winter activity. In the past, we've talked mostly informally about sometimes the quality of the ice on the ice rink is pretty marginal. And is there, I wonder if it came up in discussions, is considering all these options, whether there would be a need someday or an opportunity someday to invest in a way to improve the quality of that ice through the skating season.
Yeah, you know, when we did our Parks and Rec master plan update earlier this year, Beckett and Rader gave us some good input on that. And we spoke specifically with Petoskey and East Jordan again on those matters, because East Jordan uses a liner on their rink, which is kind of like a pool and you freeze it. And then Petoskey uses a natural grass surface. So, you know, my recommendation and what Beckett and Rader thought was the best plan going forward would be when the ice rink is reconfigured at Avalanche as part of the master plan project, that the asphalt be removed and that we go to a grass surface, which is a better surface for providing for a good flat, smooth ice rink. We are currently waiting for some more snow before we start freezing our rink. We probably need another 2 to 4 inches of good solid snowpack on top before we can roll it and then start watering it down and freezing up the base.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Sally?
Yeah, I think I agree with I think it was Dean who said it's a no-brainer, so I'm all for it.
Thanks, Sally. You,
Tim, do you want to talk about the signage recommendation that Boyne had or Nick had for the trail?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me on that. One of the things, and probably you know, we got to get out in front of this soon. If we're moving forward, is to come up with a consistent signage plan on how we will try to direct people to, for example, to keep snowshoers and walkers off of the cross-country ski portions of the trail, and you know, keep the conditions in as good a possible condition as we can throughout the winter, knowing that you know we probably. Volunteers probably aren't going to be able to groom, you know, more than once a day, if they could even do it once a day. And it only takes, you know, one family with a with a dog to go running up the cross-country ski trails to ruin those trails. So Boyne Mountain is supportive of getting some signage and working on that as soon as we can.
In reference to Dean's question, we have talked about the ice at Avalanche, and one of the concerns with the master plan is it's a few years out, and maybe what we do in between. So we have discussed that, and you know, done some research on the liners and that sort of thing. So hopefully, if not this, probably won't happen this winter, but it, you know, maybe next winter we can figure something out, and then maybe utilize the rink where the hockey rink used to be, you know, just look at different alternatives to address that. So Tim, did you want to talk too about the, you know, the trailer may be necessary but may not be if we find a place to house it, or is that not appropriate to bring up at this time?
Yeah, I think you know, we've got a few options. We have the a potential option to store the equipment near Boyne Mountain at a facility that they're in the process of currently acquiring, which is right adjacent to the trail. And it's on kind of, if you will, the city side of M75. The only caveat is that property is likely not going to be available until, you know, late January or sometime in February even. The other alternative would be to potentially store that equipment at the wastewater treatment plant in one of the storage buildings there, which I think that's more likely the place where we would do that. And it's right at the trailhead, so it's a great location. It's secure. You know, it's already a city facility from an insurance perspective, et cetera. So that would probably be my preference and recommendation, but we still have some details to sort out on that.
Yeah, and it wouldn't require quite as, you know, just a regular utility trailer too, rather than something enclosed for the snowmobile. So anyway, yeah, correct. I'm fully supportive of moving forward with this. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Hugh. I have two questions. Did you discuss at all using your vehicle, the ATV that DPW have, or the fire department's new snowmobiles? Are those a possibility or not?
Yeah, I've looked. I have not looked at the fire department's snowmobile yet, but I did look at the current John Deere ATV that we have. They do make a track system for that. So you would replace the wheels with four independent tracks. And, you know, I think that might be a good long-term option for us. And Boyne Mountain had indicated that that's kind of a direction that they might even head in the future. The trick there is the tracks are very expensive. They're about $3,500 for a pair, and we need two pair of tracks. So, you know, you're looking at $7,000 plus to put tracks on that existing piece of equipment, and we could buy a snowmobile for about that same price, or not a lot more than that. Once the tracks are put on, you're pretty much dedicated to using it, you know, on trails only, and not on a road. So it would kind of take another piece of equipment out of commission that we do, although not real frequently, we do use it throughout the year. But again, down the road, I think that's an option that we do want to take a look at.
I was just thinking that you leave the wheels on, but it pulls the drum. But I'll leave that up to the experts.
Tim?
I'm excited about this opportunity. We've talked about it for many years, and I think it just adds more to the quality of opportunities that we are providing in Boyne City with our new trails, and now we winterize the trails. I think that's exciting. And I really appreciate Tim following through on a pretty quick timetable. And Hugh, your efforts have been very noble in pushing the agenda through the Parks and Rec. So I think this is a good thing. It's a great thing. And I think people will appreciate quality rather than just walking on a trail. Now they can appreciate a groomed trail. And most of them may have never seen that, but it'll be great. It'll be a great asset for Boyne City. Any other comments, commissioners? Yes, Mike?
Just two things. One, there was discussion about using existing equipment like the fire department snowmobile. I asked a similar question to Tim earlier, and he gave me a quick tutorial that trail grooming snowmobiles are significantly different than standard use snowmobiles, with the different type of cooling system for going at the slower speeds and a lot different design. So different types of snowmobiles might be compatible, and Tim could go into that in greater detail than if anybody is interested. And also, just to make sure that everybody's clear, because of the short time frame on this, should the commission grant approval tonight, staff would go forward and try and line up the equipment that's outlined here, and it would not come back to the city commission for specific purchases of those individual items. We just don't have the time to do that at this point if we want to make the most of the winter season.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, looking for a motion, commissioners.
I'll make a motion that the city commission approve the purchase of the required trail grooming attachments and snowmobile trailer in an amount not to exceed $20,000 plus shipping costs, and further the city commission approve an arrangement with Challenge Mountain for the lease of the snowmobile and for 2021 winter season. And further, I recommend the city manager execute this document.
I'll second.
Motion by Ron, second by Sally. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Heathammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Thank you. Let's move on to item B, EMS authority discussion. We have John with us. John, I'll turn over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. About 2 weeks ago, I was contacted by John Martin, who is the superintendent of Marion Township. Apparently there had been some activity in which one of the townships just south or west of Marion were going to break from the existing EMS system that the city of Charlevoix provides for. They were upset over an assessment that was charged to them for a loss of operation cost. And John Martin was spearheading a meeting in which he was inviting all the township members and EMS providers to come zoom in on and see if there would be an interest in working together. Apparently also just about that same time, and I can't tell you what Mark, the city of Charlevoix manager's last name is, he sent out a letter to his townships pursuing the fact that maybe this is time to form an EMS authority with the city of Charlevoix and the surrounding townships that they serve, and then create a board that would oversee the operation of that activity. Well, then with John Martin's action, he invited Jordan Valley, and Jay Peck was given permission to pursue or discuss this concept of collaboratively working together to form one authority between Jordan Valley and the city of Charlevoix. And we were invited to participate in the discussion. So Michael Kane and myself listened in, and they created a subcommittee of which Don, their EMS coordinator in Charlevoix, Jay Peck and myself met. And we have now met two times. We're gonna meet again this Thursday to put out a performer or proposal that says, if we were to come together as a system and we were to employ people and we were establish a set of guidelines as to the delivery of the system, would it be feasible? And so there's a discussion that's going to take place on December 21st. Last night at the Boyne Valley Township Zoom meeting, I made sure they were aware that there was a authority discussion going on. The question that I have for the city commission is, if to be sustainable, what we are today is we basically are some days are on a wing and a prayer for staffing. We're unable to recruit paramedics to the community because we really aren't offering a standardized wage or benefit package or something to recruit them to come up from downstate to help support the delivery of systems. So right now, today, you know, we are doing okay. I'm not trying to tell you we're not doing okay, but if I lost a medic to COVID, that would cause a serious crippling or a serious ability to continue to provide service. So what I like about the authority idea is if we can utilizing the assets that are already in the community, utilizing the stations that are already in the community, not building new ones and not buying new ones, but create an oversight so that we can then assess a millage, get it out of the general fund of the townships, coordinate the activity so that we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, and move forward with this idea. The thought is, at least what they said 2 weeks ago, is if they thought this was a viable option, they would move forward with forming an authority, which apparently can be done just on paper, And then you would then have the townships vote on this in May as to whether or not they would support such an endeavor. And it actually wouldn't come to fruition until like September or October 1st. Any questions?
So let me, if I could jump in just for a second here.
Sure.
The topic, well, thank you, John. The topic of an authority has been something that's been discussed throughout the county for at least as long as I've been in Boyne City. Shortly after I came here, we had discussions with then the East Jordan system and the Charlevoix system about creating a countywide authority or system. But the departments were at such different places that it didn't make sense at that time. And we've done pretty much gone on our own since then. And I think we've done very well by both from a taxpayer's perspective and from a customer perspective with regards to the patient care that we offer. We've done very well with regards to that. John and I felt it was worth going through this discussion, with at least beginning the discussion with the other two systems in the area and seeing if it was some, well, actually three, because there's another one kind of on Beaver Island. And seeing if this, if there was enough commonality between the visions of the units to possibly make this a reality. Obviously, if we did do something of this nature and it proceeded, it'd be a significant change for us. As John mentioned, this would come off our books and would not be funded directly by the city and the neighboring townships as it is now. It would have its own taxing ability with regards to it. That can be good and bad. Like I said, it gets it off our books. But if somebody isn't keeping a close eye on it, with its independent taxing authority, our taxpayers could end up paying more than they currently are for the system as well. So we thought it was important to bring it to the commission to let you know that these discussions are starting to take place. They're very preliminary at this point, just to see if we think it makes any programmatic sense with regards to it. And then we'd have to come up with a whole governing structure and things of that nature that we felt was appropriate for a county-wide agency. The county itself is not involved in this process. This would not be a department of the county. We've heard from several county commissioners that they have no interest in going down this path. Whether that'll ultimately be the case, we don't know. So this might be something that is if it does go forward, would be established independent of the county, but potentially cover all of the county, if that makes sense. So we wanted to bring this to the commission to make sure you are aware of it, that you have, that we have your blessings to at least engage in the conversations. We're not committing anybody to anything. It would all have to come back with a lot more detail for the commission to consider and then go forward with. So we just wanted to get it to you, make sure you're okay with that. They're planning on having another group meeting on December 21st, next week, where they're going to review the progress or discussions that the directors of the programs have had and see what type of feedback we're hearing from the rest of our communities. So that's why it's before you today, is more of an update. It's not an action item, but you can give John and I direction as to whether you think this is something we should continue in discussions with or not.
I have a question, Mike. So it comes down to money or details of the quality of service. My question, it should be formed to save money, but you mentioned that it may not. So can you give more description on that?
Well, I mean, once it's, we've done a very, I think we, to be, I'm not trying to be boastful or anything of that nature, but we've had the most stable and cost-effective program in Charlevoix County. I think we're doing, from my perspective, we're doing much better than the other organizations here. And I think we do deliver better quality for the dollars, or at least a better value for the dollar than some of those other ones may as well. There's cost components. I mean, both the other agencies provide transfers. Coming back from Chicago, pre-COVID now, I think it was an East Jordan ambulance going to Chicago, and my daughter on her way back for a family visit, you know, sent me pictures coming back. That's wear and tear on equipment. It may be a short-term revenue boost, but is there a long-term? So there may be some strategies that are going there. East Jordan is talking about building Jordan Valley is talking about moving out of their current ambulance facility into a new facility. Well, I want to make sure that if that is the case, that, you know, we're not just picking up the cost for them, because none of them have helped pick up the cost for our facility as well either. So again, once it's off our books, we'll have a voice in any type of an authority that goes forward, but we would just be one voice and one vote out of many, most probably. Where currently you and us as a staff have direct control over what we do and what we don't do. And I think because of that, we've been able to manage our system probably a little bit more effectively, at least from my perspective, than the other ones have. I'm sure they have other opinions, but obviously Charlevoix, I mean, they're going through a transition right now. And it appears that they are going to go down the authority path on their own if nobody else wants to do anything with them, that we didn't need to. And to be candid, we had a whole different authority discussion not that long ago with Boyne Valley Township, but that was a whole different thing with regards to, that wasn't a countywide system. And that was a different discussion. An authority is just a way of doing things. It doesn't guarantee that there will be more savings. There may be some opportunities to combine some services, combine some leadership, so we're not all, you know, we're not paying for, you know, three department heads to run, you know, three or more different EMS services. There may be some opportunities for savings there, but depending on the direction of the program, I mean, it could very well cost more. I just don't. From what I've seen, the Charlevoix system and the Jordan Valley system, and one is a city and one is an authority, I don't think either of them are more cost effective for the quality of service than we are.
Thank you, Mike. Is there anybody in the audience or any other staff members that want to speak up on this? Let's just go to board deliberation. Just kind of an open discussion. This, we don't need a motion out of this, but Dean, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think we should definitely be a part of this discussion and pursue it. And the thing that's persuasive to me is John's comment about staffing and the overall issue of being able to potentially at least stabilize or perhaps increase quality of service is really important in the long run. The other thing is that I think we need to not look at the short term, how things are running today, but a longer term view that pursuing the discussion, seeing where it goes. My only other final comment is, you know, may sneak up pretty quick, you know, to get something on a ballot. And if it doesn't happen by May, I think that's okay. You know, if the discussions are going, they're going along well, but just not quite ready. I think the most important thing is to have consensus on a direction rather than trying to push for a specific date. Maybe the May one was just an idea, but I guess I wouldn't hold ourselves to that if we're not quite ready.
Dean, in relation to your time comment on that, I agree with you completely. And matter of fact, that issue came up in our last group meeting, and a representative from the Jordan Valley system who was there, you know, since its creation, basically kind of shot down some ideas that this was going to happen quickly, at least to have the whole thing on a countywide basis fleshed out. His estimate was a year to a year and a half to try and pull this all together and do it right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The only worry that is driving this is Norwood's going to bolt. They're going to leave the city of Charlevoix service. They're going to go with Torch Lake service, which is then going to increase response time into their community for an EMS system by more than 20 minutes, almost 30 minutes. I mean, if you look at where the boundary line of, they go right to the city limits. So, I mean, their residents are, they're, the people that are driving this based on dollars. And I appreciate the fact that they don't get input in trying to offset why there's such a loss. So I'm just, the only reason why they want to do something, at least show that it's going in a direction to keep Norwood in the fold.
John, do you think Norwood would bolt if Charlevoix County, if the city of Charlevoix created an authority just for their service, as it was earlier discussed?
I think what I think is, if Norwood felt that they had input into the overall operation and why is there a loss, they would feel better. I mean, I have Bay Township that gets upset if I increase their cost by $3,000 and suddenly Norwood gets a bill for $50,000. So I think from a delivery standpoint, if they felt that they had input into it, they would stay.
Thank you. Sally?
Oh, it sounds like it's still a possibility that Norwood wouldn't leave.
It's a possibility Norwood, come January, if there isn't like a direction in place, Norwood's going to leave. I think if they see a direction of something, even if it takes a year, I agree with Mike. I mean, the frustration, I've done this. I formed an authority in Roger City. I formed an authority in Ishpeming. I'm sorry, San Ignace. And it takes, you end up going to every single township, answering their questions, trying to lay out a plan. It takes time to make this happen.
Okay. Hugh?
So, John, in these places where you formed an authority, did the authority work?
Yes. Matter of fact, Torch Lake Township belongs to what's called Township Ambulance Authority, TAA, which is an authority that I helped create down in Bel Air and Mansalona. And when Torch Lake failed as a system, TAA was able to come in and offer direction and leadership and brought Torch Lake on board with Mansalona and Bel Air. I think a lot of people, particularly the township supervisors, what's nice about it is that, you know, they're trying to take care of their community. They're trying to find, they're not trying to run a business. They're not trying to be an MMR and look at unit hour utilization. They're trying to see how they can meet their community needs. And I think as long as that's maintained as the thought process moving forward, I think we could deliver a really awesome system for Charlevoix.
Would one of the early steps here be hire a consultant to structure this for what would define moving in a direction that would be encouraging for Norwood? If that's,
I worry about a consultant, Hugh, only because I watched Emmett County spend over $100,000 for a consultant that came in and built a system that they ended up having to go back and increase the millage to offset the cost of operation. I think what you have is experience in the community that can like bring this together. Brian, Mike, you got to help me with his last name, the attorney out of Bel Air.
Graham.
He's formed several structures as far as authorities. And so I think the ability to do it without spending exceedingly outside cost, it could move forward.
Hugh, to your comments, there was some discussion at the last meeting about possibly getting some type of outside assistance, and you know, whether that's a consultant or something. Obviously, we have to avoid the pitfalls that John talked about in Emmett County, but you know, there may be the need for some type of a mediator or some outside independent source that isn't tied with one of these agencies to help bring them together in the best way possible. And I certainly won't hesitate to suggest that if I felt it's necessary. And I may be differing with John a little bit here, but while I'm sensitive to Norwood Township, I'm not going to let that drive our decision as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fully support moving forward and being engaged, because it just seems to me to be the only way that in the long run it will be successful, that the current way isn't sustainable. So I would strongly encourage you to keep working and to provide your leadership and experience to make it all happen, John. You know, you're the right person in the right spot at the right time, kind of thing. So good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, you. Ron?
Well, I thank you for the update on this. And as Hugh has just said, that John is the right man to carry this forward and represent us. And he has done that very successfully for us for several years. And our main goal is to provide a quality service and keep the price down. So we'll keep working at it. And I support the movement.
Thanks, Ron. And I agree with my fellow commissioners. I think a lot of wise comments have been said, and thank you, John and Mike, for keeping us updated and pursue it and see where it leads. But obviously none of us want to lose cost control or quality control. So John will take good care of us. All right. Any further discussion on that? Let's move to, I would like to, on behalf of the City Commission in our city, and extend our sympathies to Dennis Amesbury. His mother passed away, and Dennis, you're part of our family, and we know you and your mom are have given your life and soul to the Boyne City, and we extend our sympathies. I don't know if Dennis is with us, but at this meeting, but his mom passed away, unfortunately.
Yes, Ryan? Dennis is with us. He's muted at the current time.
Okay.
Hang on a sec. I'm trying to turn off. I think he should be able to talk now. I'm having to. Patrick had to leave, so I'm trying to double duty there. So he might not be able to. So anyway.
Okay. Okay, at this time, I would like to make a motion. It is 5:30. Make a motion for the request of the city manager to go into closed session with our attorney regarding attorney-client privilege document as provided in the MCL 15.268 of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267 of 1976.
I'll second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
I apologize. I lost my place.
No problem.
Okay. Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Tom?
Yes.
I'm not anticipating that we'll be coming, that we'll be taking any action after coming out of closed session. And I'm not seeing any audience members with us other than our department heads, but I didn't know if you wanted to do good of the order or announcements or any of that type of stuff before we went in, so we could just come right out.
Yeah, let's do that. As you said, if there's no audience, we don't anticipate that there'll be any participation under the after we come back into live session, or not live session, but open session. So at this time, I'll go through good of the order, commissioners. Let's see, Sally?
Nothing here.
Hugh?
I'm good.
Ron?
I'm good.
Dean?
Good.
Okay.
Tom?
Yes.
In lieu of a manager's report, could I toss in two items for the good of the order?
Please.
I just want to let the commission and everybody know that Barb Brooks graduated from the Women in Municipal Leadership Program that Michigan Municipal League was putting on for the last few months. She graduated on Friday, so we congratulate her on that. And just to also to let everybody know that there'll be a special farmer's market coming up on Wednesday, December 23rd, just before Christmas. So if anybody needs some last minute holiday foodstuffs, they'll be at the pavilion that day.
And also, Mike, party for Andy Hayes' retirement is Thursday, online, virtual.
Correct.
Did all of my commissioners get that email? If not, check in with Mike and I, and you can get the details to tune into his retirement party.
Yeah, I saw some nodding of heads there. Looks like everybody got them. So
good.
But okay. If anybody does need them, yeah, Tom and I could pass that along too.
Mike, do you know if the community Christmas needs any more volunteers or if they're taken care of?
Yes, I actually had an opportunity to talk to Lisa today from the Chamber of Commerce, who's heading that up. It sounds like their packing, which is taking place on this Thursday, is all set, that they have enough volunteers for that. They're only doing 25 people in the early learners gym at a time. So it sounds like they have that taken care of. They are doing deliveries of all the packages on Friday. And matter of fact, my daughter signed up to do some of that on Friday as well. They could use a few more people delivering. Basically, they have it set up that everybody that's going to be getting a package knows that they'll be getting it. So that they're setting it up in 15-minute increments to pick up the items for the drivers at the gymnasium. Then they take them to the home and they leave them on the porch. So there's no individual contacts to try and do it all in a COVID safe way. So if anybody is available to provide some transportation of goods to houses, I'm sure Lisa would be appreciative of that. I have her cell phone number at home. You can contact me or just contact the Chamber of Commerce at 582-6222 and they can get you her contact information. I think they're mainly looking at Friday, late afternoon, somewhere beyond 4:15 is when they need a few drivers at this point. But it sounds like things have gone pretty well for them, what Lisa was telling me.
And I did forget one thing under good of the order. I'm sorry, and I see Mark's here. There was an issue at Welthead 2. Was there, on Sunday, has that been resolved or what exactly happened?
Can you hear me, Hugh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, the check valve inside didn't hold, and so the water was coming back from the tank. And when it did, it came out around the casing of the pump casing because of the head from the tower was so much greater. And there was not a lot of water for it or place for it to go back in because the static water level over there is pretty high. It's only about 2 feet down. If you dig down, you're going to hit water in 2 feet. So it was just the water coming back because the check valve didn't hold. We got that shut off, and now we're working on getting a new check valve in there.
Good. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Hugh. Okay, thanks for taking care of the details on the Christmas baskets, Mike. Let's go to announcements. City offices will be closed on the 24th and 25th in observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. City offices will be closed December 31st and January 1st for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And the next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for January 12th at 7 p.m. 2021.
So this isn't your last meeting, is it, Cindy?
No, I've got one more.
Oh, okay, good.
So we did have, did we take the vote to go into closed session or was it just a motion?
You voted.
We did vote.
Yes.
Okay, so at this time we will go into closed session.
Okay, so those that are not participating in the closed session, if you could exit yourself so I don't have to remove you. Okay, you've got the group for the closed session, Mayor.
Okay. At 5:37, I'll make a motion to open the closed session.
Okay.
Got a second.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caroline. Good night.
Good night, everybody.